Chicago.
Good afternoon. And it's still wintry, wintry weather, but the boys in the TV room are telling us in this forecasting business that, hey, it's going to get warm by the end of next week. Now, we all believe them, right?
Not me. I'm a non-believer.
Somebody said to me this morning they wish they'd get winter over. I said, you know, it's still March. That is winter, I hope.
Well, I don't know. I think we're all ready for spring.
Well, how you all doing today? We got Matt here on the controls.
Matt's on the controls.
Beautiful Christine working it here.
Thank
very
you so
well.
Very
and we
much.
Got a very special guest today.
Yes,
Father
we do.
Rogue.
Father Francis
and
Rogue.
A lot of people have been following him lately. And we thank him and the people that follow him because he's in our newspaper.
Yes, and of course, Father Rogue, they've been following you for years out there in the neighborhoods. You are so kind to be working with us with the Our Village and be here with us today to talk about the Bucktown neighborhood, really, is where you grew up.
Here. And glad to be here.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's interesting, Father. You truly are a Bucktown person. You were born in Bucktown, right?
Right. I was born in Bucktown. At that time, midwives came to the homes, and mm-hmm. so it was one of the homes right across from St. Hedwig's Church on Webster Avenue that I was born.
Mm-hmm. So, is that right?
You've got me believing, I come originally from the East Coast, but you've got me believing that everybody in Chicago was born in Bucktown, because I met so many people that said, oh, I was born there, I know the father, and the father knows everybody. I mean, we used to kid about Joe here, and Joe Gentile knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I got him a match.
Yeah, that is very true, and far and wide, of course, you know, and people, the way they have scattered now, of course, people don't tend to stay in the old neighborhoods like they used to perhaps generations ago. You have people all over the country, literally, who have been following your articles, and I know keep in touch with you personally, but you've had really quite an extensive career, not only of course, in Bucktown itself, but you actually had been the principal at Weber High School, I believe, for quite
yes,
a few
right.
years,
mm-hmm.
and had served, of course, at Gordon Tech High School
yes.
as a teacher.
And as an assistant principal.
Mm-hmm. As an assistant principal there. And your background as far as your education, you had gone to Northwestern University.
Right.
And I see that you received a Ph.D. What was that in?
Educational psychology.
Oh. We'll have to be careful here. And, of course, you started out your education at St. Hedwig School in Bucktown, where you went to grade school. And then on to Weber High School.
Yes.
For your high school.
St. Hedwig's was right across the street, so it was very easy to go to school.
It was a natural. Yes, so many people matriculated at that school. And then you went on to St. Louis University.
Yes.
For mm-hmm. your,
bachelor's,
after that you were ordained.
Bachelor's and a master's degree from St. Louis University, and mm-hmm. as well as the theological studies at Resurrection Theology Center.
Mm-hmm. So when you finished your studies, then you came back to Chicago, and this is where you have served for all these many years?
Yes, I was ordained in 1955 and came back the following year to be at Gordon Tech High School. As a matter of fact, was my first station.
How was it? How old were you then?
25.
Oh, my. Oh, right. And then you went on from Gordon Tech, then you stayed there for 18 years, I guess, right?
Well, I left there to go back to St. Louis for 2 years, and then came back again in 1965 to 76.
Mm-hmm.
76, I left Gordon Tech to be pastor at St. Stanislaus Kuska Church,
mm-hmm.
and then I was elected as provincial superior of our order, and that was for 9 years. And finally, I came to St. Hyacinth's Church, and from St. Hyacinth's Church back to Weber High School as principal,
mm-hmm.
and then a pastor again of St. Hyacinth's Church.
Oh, my. So a kind of a complete circle there. And you work very closely with Cardinal George.
Yes.
As you did with Cardinal Bernardine
yeah,
previously.
I'm a consultor. That means about 12 priests of the archdiocese meet with the cardinal and discuss pertinent transactional matters, especially financial matters pertaining to the diocese.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing that? Well, of course, with Cardinal Bernardine
Cardinal
as well.
Cardinal Bernardine, so. 6 years, and 6 years with with Cardinal George, and this is another term, so it's about 8 or 9 years with mm-hmm. Cardinal George. Mm-hmm. He's here for 10 years, so.
Oh, he's been here 10 years already?
He will. In May, it'll be 10 years.
Is that right?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
My gosh.
That is
time goes by fast, you know?
It certainly does.
And, how's he doing? He's feeling pretty well, is he?
Very, very well. He certainly bounced back from his bout with cancer
mm-hmm.
and has been going with full schedule, so.
Yeah.
And in May, there will be several celebrations going on in his honor as being the shepherd of the diocese for 10 years.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you just had actually a very big occasion occur this last year, I believe, your 50th anniversary.
My 50th anniversary
in the priesthood,
of priesthood, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you had a golden jubilee, which was attended by thousands, we understand. Literally.
Oh, there were a lot
that's
of
White
people
Eagle.
There. Yeah. Yes, yes. So you've done all this work, and you've done a tremendous amount of work, and yet you still have the time to be the head of the flock in Bucktown.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now it's
just amazing because you're so well acquainted in all the situations, all the things that have happened through the years. It's really amazing the things that you've done.
Well, one of the things that I would say specifically of the Bucktown people is once we get to know one another, we don't leave one another. It's a love affair, and consequently, when you say thousands had come to the Jubilee, probably at least 1,000 of those were Bucktown, former Bucktown people.
Hmm. Yes, and you know, we can certainly give you attest to some of this, because yesterday you were kind enough to have lunch with us, and we had been sitting in the restaurant, and as we sat there, there were a group of people, I guess, meeting in another room, and of these 38 people, they came through single file at one different time or another during lunch.
I counted them.
You counted? Say hello to Father Rowe.
There were 11 people that came up and said hello.
Uh-huh.
There were some people, obviously, that just said they didn't want to, you know, go over there. But he, you know those people very well.
Absolutely.
And one of them was an ambassador.
Former ambassador. Hmm.
John Kordek, who grew up in Bucktown and went to St. Hedwig's School and went to Weber High School, DePaul University, and then went into the ambassador's kind of work. And so he was in one of the small countries in Africa.
Yes, we looked it up last night.
Mm-hmm.
Southern part of Africa. Right?
Yeah, we couldn't recall whether it was actually in India or Africa, not knowing our geography like we should, I guess. But yeah, we looked it up. Very interesting.
No.
So obviously people have filled all walks of life coming from the old neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And of course, that's the purpose of the articles you've been writing, is just to give people a background as to what made this Bucktown area so special. Because really, when you do, everybody, I think, who was born and raised in Chicago and has lived here for a time, I being one of those people who was born and raised here, every one of the neighborhoods that are out there have their own flavor, and they have their own history. But there was something special about Bucktown, and we can see this now unfolding with these articles that you're doing, just exactly what that was. And it was only a 4-block area, which
yes.
was so amazing.
You know, as you say, each neighborhood has its own flavor. Each neighborhood has its profile. But peculiarly about the people in Bucktown is we got to know each other and we stayed with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even as people will travel or move over with the work out to Arizona or California or
mm-hmm.
Or Alaska,
mm-hmm.
as I think you've received the letter
yes,
from Alaska.
We did.
And so you have all of these instances of people who keep contact. And with myself, quite a bit of these people are my own personal friends, as well as somebody who had gone through either St. Hedwig's Grade School or Weber High School.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did. Somebody from Alaska had contacted us. Our paper goes on to the Internet. Mm-hmm. And she had, I guess, visited, had seen you on a vacation and had gone back. And then she looked it up on the internet. Mm-hmm. And she called to let us know she's following us. I said, that's terrific. Now we're a national paper.
Maybe even international. We don't know. We count the former ambassador from Botswana. Here's a fellow who may not be international, but he certainly has done some fine, fine work in the neighborhoods of the north side of Chicago, a caring concept to help you be at home. They're number one with immediate and personal response to your needs, and their goal is to meet your individual needs to provide experienced, referenced caregivers for you if you're perhaps recovering from a surgery or perhaps have a disability that requires some sort of extra help at home. They provide homemaker companions, certified nurses' aides, private duty aides, and most importantly, they place the caregivers who share their concern for the comfort and well-being and happiness of those they serve. A caring concept requires no contract. They are agency licensed, bonded, and insured. So if you call them, they'll be able to fill you in on all the different services they can provide. 773-539-6600. They can be seen online at acaringconcept.com. So call in, A Caring Concept, to help you be at home. They're number one with immediate personal response to your needs. 773-539-6600, A Caring Concept. And we're going to be hearing shortly, Father Rogue, this is one of your old friends from the area, not Bucktown area necessarily, but from the north side of Chicago, Chester M. Shabillo, yes. Who is an estate planning attorney.
Attorney that I've known for some years.
Oh, yes, and the entire Shabillo family, of course, who are the owners of the White Eagle, and Chester Shabillo is one of those family members. Cousin, and he is, as we said, an estate planning attorney of renown all over the country and an author, and he'll be joining us in a few minutes just to talk a little bit about the upcoming seminars that he has coming along.
Yes, he should be calling in, I guess, right now.
Yeah, just about now. So we'll talk to him when he calls in, find out a little bit more how we can all prepare for the future. But we...
We have to have money, first of all.
Yeah.
So I have no worries. I just keep on going.
See, that's one of the things they'll talk to us about. You don't need a lot of money.
I don't want them to talk to me about what to do with my money. I want them to talk about how I get the money.
Oh.
See, that's
maybe
the important part,
you
know.
And since Father Rogue deals with the spirit rather than the pocketbook, I'm sure that it's probably more important. Well, Father, we were just mentioning before I broke away for that little spot that Bucktown was a four-block area, which is, mind-boggling when you think about how many people seem to have come from
those
there.
Those people who are Chicagoans from Armitage to Western, Western to Fullerton, Fullerton to Damon, and Damon back to Armitage, and it's four square blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So... that was known as the Bucktown. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, with the movement that has been made, they've extended the Bucktown boundaries to North Avenue and to Milwaukee Avenue and, and other instances. They even now have a West Bucktown area to sell Bucktown because that's a big... real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, they tend to do that with these neighborhoods. If it's a desirable spot, then somehow these boundaries...
that's become very desirable.
Yes. And, of course, Bucktown, Wicker Park are somewhat sister neighborhoods, and
yes.
They blend a little bit in people's minds today, but Bucktown definitely is its own distinct area, is what we're talking about with
right.
the history.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that Chester Shabillo has called in. Chester, how
yes,
are you?
How are you?
Oh, well, very
Hello,
good.
Hello, Chester. How are you doing?
Hello.
Get any sailing in this year?
Not this year.
Ah.
Not yet.
It's a little too cold yet.
Have to keep up? Oh, I meant last year as far as the sailing goes.
Last year, no.
No.
Unfortunately.
We
how about yourself?
Oh, no. I, I retired at, what, 50, and then I got back into it because we wanted to do something. And this thing isn't playing right. I don't play golf anymore, and I don't go sailing anymore, and I'm getting too busy.
You and me both.
Yes.
Well, Chester, thank you so much for calling in. And, of course, we have a very good, long acquaintance of yours. Father Francis Rogue is with us here today.
Yes, hello, Father. How are you?
Good to hear from you.
Yes, we've been talking to Father Rogue, of course, about the history of Bucktown. You didn't come from Bucktown, did you, Chester?
No, but I came from not far away, over on Augusta and Western.
Oh, all right. Well, so you were a little closer to...
Near the parish of St. Helen, now known as Ukrainian Village.
Oh, very good. I was born and raised in the Austin neighborhood, so that was just due west of you there. But, yeah, that's Chicago's a great place, no matter where you come from. But you've got some wonderful things coming along in the form of seminars, which we know you hold twice a year, at least, estate planning seminars. And I know you've got five convenient Chicagoland locations, again, once again, this season that you're going to be appearing at. We thought it would be interesting for people to call in, although they know you by reputation, certainly, and by the fact that you've written, you know, several books, have co-authored books. We thought it might be interesting for people to get a little idea from you what they can expect at an estate planning seminar. What does that involve?
Well, it involves, the purpose of the seminar is really to educate the public. You know, I've been practicing now over 40 years, and I'm constantly amazed how misinformed people are when it comes to planning their estates. And I don't know whether it's the fault of my profession or whatever, but people don't know what the right way, how best to approach planning their own estates, what the right way is. And the purpose of the seminar, of course, is to educate them how they be able to plan to save money and aggravation, not only for themselves, should they become disabled, but also for the family after their death.
Mm-hmm. And this, of course, I think a lot of people are perhaps have the misconception that this is only for someone in their golden years to think about. But really, the earlier you attend to something like this, the better.
Particularly for younger people who have children. Many never even give a thought to the fact that if something happened to both husband and wife and they had minors, who would be in charge of the minors? What
That's
if there's
a
conflict that arises as to who wants to be the guardian? Because they haven't specified their preference as to who to act on the child's best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes through proper planning, the person that they would want to take care of the children may not be a good manager of money. So then they could tie in their estate plan in a way that not only can they have the person that they would choose to be the guardian, but also control the purse string, so to speak, so that the money is not used for other purposes other than the rearing of their own children. So it's for everyone, regardless of a person's age, wealth, or marital status.
And, of course, yes, and you said an income level as well. So this would be something that people could come to, let's say, middle-aged people could come with their parents, or younger people can come with
Correct.
Their parents.
A lot of people have the misconception that to use a trust or to do estate planning, it means having a huge house at the top of the hill with a winding road leading up to it through beautiful wrought iron gates.
Like Fred's in my house.
Right. But it's really for everyone. And if a person is looking for a rule to use, they can take in consideration the fact that the law in Illinois provides that if you have less than $100,000 at the time of your death, you can avoid probate through a small estate affidavit. But if you have more than $100,000, or if you become disabled, then you may wind up having to have your entire estate go through probate or guardianship.
I'm sure that the this is part of your seminar, right?
Correct.
So when people come there, they'll probably get it in much more detail.
Well, we go into
be able to ask
detail,
you questions.
Correct. And we also touch upon how you can preserve your estate from the federal government by not paying the unnecessary federal estate taxes that may be assessed.
Now, this was something interesting, too, Chester, and I know you address all these things in your 90, and it is a 90-minute free seminar, is it
correct.
Not? Do people have to call ahead to reserve space for that, by the way?
They should, because spaces fill up early, and if they wish, they can call our office.
And we'll give them that number, you know, too, obviously. But this is something else, just a little add-on here I wanted to mention, that if people already have an estate plan set up, there's no reason why they shouldn't perhaps come to a seminar just to refresh their thinking. Maybe there's some changes that need to be made, whether you or someone else had actually made the initial plan.
Well, you know, there are a lot of changes that occur over the years, and sometimes when I review someone's estate plan that was prepared years ago, they may not be aware of the changes made by the federal government with respect to the release of medical documents. There's been a change as far as the powers of attorney for property, requiring a witness in addition to a notary, and we go on and on and on. But the importance is really to see that their existing documents have all the triggers necessary to protect them. For instance, what if through unfortunate illness they wind up going into a nursing home, and their trust doesn't provide the wherewithal to permit their trustees to take advantage of the estate planning that exists out there to try to preserve their estate from nursing home liens. If the trust doesn't permit the trustee to engage in this activity on their behalf, then there's nothing that trustee can do. The trustee must follow the dictates of the trust. What would happen if their family situation changed, where a child is now disabled and may be collecting governmental benefits? They certainly wouldn't want to leave their money to that child, knowing that the state or the federal government would take away any of the benefits that children are receiving from the federal government. But they can still give money to that child and preserve whatever they want to give that child through creation of sub-trust built within their trust.
Well, that's fascinating.
That is terrific. And not only do we feel this way, but a lot of other people we've talked to, Chester, feel that you are the best in that business.
Well, thank you very much. I've
and
been doing it for a long time.
I can't believe anybody wouldn't go there. Anytime somebody says to me, do you want to sit down with the best, I don't care what it is, I certainly want to sit and listen to him because he has something to contribute. And you've contributed to so many people in so many ways that it would be it would be foolhardy if people don't go and don't say hello to you.
And not only that, I don't charge anything for initial consultation.
That's wonderful.
So they can bring their documents or they can come in if they have no estate plan and discuss what options are available to them. And even if they decide they don't want to go ahead with me, I've imparted a substantial amount of knowledge to them that they can use to consider in planning sometime in the future.
Well, thank you so much, Chester, and for the offer you've made to folks out there. We're going to give everybody the locations.
When are these seminars,
the
Chris?
I'm going to say right now.
Oh, she's got the whole thing.
Good.
Nice talking to you.
It was my pleasure.
Have
thank
a good
you.
Day, sir.
Thank you very much. You too.
Thank
Bye.
You for calling in, Chester. And Chester M. Shabillo, person we've just been talking to, of course, very well-renowned estate planning attorney, is going to be holding five locally-based seminars in the next month. Actually, they run through March. Chicago Norridge, Chicago Elmwood Park, Niles, and in Chicago and in Des Plaines. Now, to get specific information on the times and the dates, they run actually starting from March 13th through March 17th. You want to call 800-638-7878. That's 800-638-7878. And Chester Shabillo's office will be able to give you more information and to sign you up for one of those free 90-minute seminars.
How are you doing?
Wonderfully well, thank you. It's interesting to know that we do have people who are concerned, even at a free instance of consultation about estates and Of course, I also catch so many people at the time of death, parishioners who have put aside sometimes for too long their particular estate.
Mm-hmm.
And as Chester had said, sometimes what you've done 10 years ago, the whole family has a different aspect to itself. Children perhaps die, and others come into the picture as in-laws and things. So,
well, you've been around, of course, many, many years, and have seen many changes. And don't you find that today it's much more complicated than it was, let's say, 50 years ago? Today it gets to be even difficult to pass on. It is. It's all these numbers and figures.
Absolutely. 50 years ago, you know, you just had a simple paper at times,
mm-hmm.
And not even going through legal structures. But today, as Chester had mentioned about probate situations, if you come to a certain point and you don't have things correctly prepared, you're going to go into probate, and the probate is a pricey kind of thing.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Very, and that gets complicated, too. But in Bucktown, years ago, there were a lot of funeral homes down there, too, weren't there?
Well, I think we had about 11 funeral homes in the four square blocks. Now, of course, Bucktown at that time was densely populated. When I say densely populated, in one of the articles that I write, the families that had 6, 7, 8, sometimes even 9 and 10 children. And this was not something that was just one or another family, but a great number of families that had many children. So as a result, the area was densely populated with individuals, whereas today maybe that same apartment that was with 5 or 10 kids may now have 1 or 2 kids and maybe 2 dogs or the likes thereof.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no longer a place where you will find the number of children in a single family to have 9 or 10.
Was that somewhat the same reason why a man could stop off and have a brew on the way home down there? I understand they had a lot of bars there, too.
Well, if you can only believe that in 4 square blocks, and I've done this with a few of the old-timers, I would ask, how many taverns do you think were in our 4 square blocks? And quite frequently, people would say 10 or 12. And I would say, well, just down Hoyne Avenue, we had 9 taverns on Hoyne Avenue itself. Through the whole neighborhood, we had 32 taverns.
Oh, my. But weren't they places, too, where families would tend to congregate, too? Younger people, you'd go in and maybe have something to eat, perhaps a beer for the older people.
And
so it was a gathering spot.
Sometimes there would be an area for a little bit of dancing also, and so the old-timers,
uh-huh.
Senior members or young adults
uh-huh.
can find. Because each of the taverns had its own profile also. You could say that one tavern would have all relatively young people, and on the next corner there'd be those who were relatively the senior members, and the two would never mix.
Uh-huh.
Can we get back to this in a minute? I that's very interesting. You know,
yes. And
because it does become the social center.
Mm-hmm.
And
when we come,
I believe it's the only city in the country that still has that kind of a goings-on. But let me get back to that. Mary Ann McGregor is on the phone. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Fred. How are you?
Pretty good. This is Mary Ann McGregor. She's the director of marketing for the Norwood Crossing. That's up off of Northwest Highway. And I understand you're having a big event there.
Yes, we are. We're really excited.
Uh-huh.
As you know, spring is coming up, and the first day of spring will be the 21st of March. And we have a very interesting talk coming up on Wednesday, March the 14th. So Wally from Peachy's Gardening will be giving a talk on spring gardening. And he'll be discussing how to get your landscapes ready for the summertime this spring.
And that's when, on March the 14th?
The March the 14th.
At what time is that?
It's at 2:30 p.m.
I see.
And the address is Norwood Crossing, formerly Norwood Park Home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 6016-20 North Nina Avenue in Chicago.
And how long do you expect he'll be there?
He should be there for up to an hour.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be available to answer all your questions. And really, he'll be talking about a whole range of things. So he'll be talking about lawns, veggie gardens, flower beds, shrubs, and bushes. So whether you're an expert that needs some more advice or you're a complete beginner, then this talk will be very interesting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get over there. I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah.
I really would. I think everybody should know more about it, you know?
Yeah, and actually, you know, even there'll be gifts from Peach's Gardening, and refreshments will be available, and it'll be good. Wally Schmidt is actually a master gardener, so he'll give a very good presentation. And I might just give the web address, just in case anyone didn't get all the details.
That would be fine, because a lot of people operate strictly online these days, don't
mm-hmm.
they?
Yeah. Yeah, so if you didn't get all the details, you can go to our website, and you'll find a link to the information on the homepage. Our website address is www.norwoodcrossing.org. So that's www.norwoodcrossing.org. And again, the address is 6016-20 North Nina Avenue in Chicago. It'll be held at 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday, March the 14th at Norwood Crossing. So I hope everyone can come.
Terrific.
Wonderful. And anyone even from outside the neighborhood, right, Marianne?
Absolutely. Anyone can
yeah.
come.
Good.
Well, now, you're on a podcast with us right now.
Great.
So if anybody wants to hook into podcasts, not today, it'll be actually up probably tomorrow, the next day, all they have to do is go to www.OurVillageChicago.com,
and you'll be able
and
to
and then they can hear your lovely voice.
Great, thank you.
Marianne.
Where does that lovely voice come from?
Mm-hmm. I'm from New Zealand.
New Zealand. Oh, what a great
place.
That's
a lovely spot.
Yeah.
It is nice.
We have a gentleman with us here today. We're so honored to have Father Rogan. I bet he even has followers of his articles in New Zealand.
Probably. If you've seen Lord of the Rings, you would have seen New Zealand on that.
Oh, it's yeah, beautiful, I'm
yeah.
sure. One quick question, Marianne. Is there a charge for this seminar that you're having or this talk?
No, it's absolutely free for anyone to attend.
Very good.
Well, that'd be a great thing to go to.
Yes.
And we appreciate so much you taking your time out of your day, because I know you're very busy, to give us a call and let us know about this.
Oh,
and let
no,
the good
no.
people know about it.
Yeah.
No. And thank you so much. You have a good day.
Thanks a lot, Fred.
And take care.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's what, do you have a number on that at all?
The Norwood Crossing?
Mm-hmm.
I do not. If Marianne wants to call and leave it with our producer, then we'll be happy to leave the number. I think
on.
They want people just to come. You don't have to reserve ahead. And
right.
that's 6016 North Nina in Norwood Park. That's
right.
The northwest side of Chicago. And, you know, we're talking with Father Rogue about the different taverns just as we broke away in Bucktown. Well, here's a local tavern right in Edison Park who has helped us out through the years with all sorts of activities that he offers there. We have the Edison Park Inn offering wood-burning oven pizza and a whole lot more, and we do mean a whole lot more. They have live music, bowling, and billiards on the second floor. And, of course, this is one of these old-fashioned bowling alleys mm-hmm. with eight lanes. You can arrange for private parties, group gatherings, maybe for special occasions for business associates or for family or friends. And they do have a lovely extensive menu. You can either take out or have food there. A full service lounge with all the sporting events on satellite and cable. They have a website, so you can check out everything they have going, current music perhaps coming along, at edisonparkinn.net. They're located at 6715 North Olmsted. That's in Edison Park. Their number is 773-775-1404. And once again, their website is edisonparkinn.net. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to go.
We were talking about the watering holes down in your area. And I come from the East Coast, as you know, and when I came out here, I said to somebody or one of our people, how is Chicago? You know, I came out of New York selling. And, he said, let me explain it. It's a great big city with a small town attitude. And this is Bucktown. It's like you're back in a small town with local people, and it's so much different. Or, you know, it is its own character, its own way. You can go up the street, there's another character up there of a part of town, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, practically every instance of when we talk about the taverns, and of course you can say about the grocery stores and the butchers and the barbers, they all have their own clientele, and you'd be able to meet friends regularly at these particular places. Now, if you got to know one place over another, you would find yourself comfortable at that place. Yet, as I mentioned earlier, there would be the kind of a distinction, the younger set of people who would have their talk and involvement about football games and basketball games and the sports world. Whereas right across the street from them could be the senior citizens who would want to sit down and play Pinochle or 66 or the likes thereof. And so you found that. And the other thing would be that even at the parish, St. Hedwig's Parish, which is in the center of those four blocks, the various activities had been had for young people as well as for the senior citizens. At going back about 40 years ago, when the parish would have about 40 different organizations for men and for women and for young people, the sports clubs that were had in the neighborhood, who would be going over to Holstein Park to play softball, and the softball leagues that were there. But on Saturday nights, they would run a benefit dance at the St. Hedwig's Ballroom, as it was called, at St. Hedwig's Hall. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was when a remodeled in about 1936, so it was a beautiful place, and still is a beautiful place, that people use that as benefits. And hundreds of young people would come on a Saturday night for various dances that were had.
And Hedwig is still, of course, a very active parish, as you just said, right?
Yes, it is. And as it changed its profile from a very Polish parish back then, 100 years ago, almost exclusively Polish, then about 30 years ago, it became very much a Hispanic area, and mm-hmm. and the church also had introduced Spanish liturgy. And now it seems like the Spanish have moved from the Bucktown area more out into the suburb areas, and we have the young professional people who are buying homes and remodeled homes, condos that never were in the neighborhood before.
Becoming gentrified, as they say.
Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh.
Well, what do they call them? Yuppies?
The yuppies, yeah. I don't know if that's the current term. That's the one we still use.
I was a yuppie. You were a yuppie. I think it's something else today.
Young urban professionals, right. But yeah, the neighborhood's becoming gentrified. Well, of course, this, when you mentioned that going back 100 years ago, this brings us to the obvious question, I guess. When did actually the Bucktown neighborhood start? Where did the name Bucktown come from? Because, I mean, people use it just, you know, without even probably thinking about it. How exactly did that originate?
Sometimes it almost seems derogatory, Bucktown, rather, you know.
I think of a goat.
A goat. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And exactly, 150 years ago, the Polish people settled around St. Stanisław-Kostka Church that would have been a noble and division. And then small groups would have moved out into the farmland. Farmland was around Bucktown or Cabbage Patch, and the place around St. Stanislaus was Goose Island, mainly because there is a semblance of a goose in the island that is there, but more the people were hunting for rabbits or for ducks.
Even there?
In that particular...
In those days,
yeah,
right? Well,
but do you see, there weren't that many houses. There were only maybe about 400 families at the time, when we go back 150 years ago.
Well, sure.
And then going north and west of St. Stanislaus area would be the Cabbage Patch, because the Polish people had one of their great staples, cabbage, and as a result, the whole area primarily was a farm of cabbage.
Literally. A farm of cabbage.
Mm-hmm. And then when you go a little further northwest from that area, you come to Bucktown. And once again, the Polish people raised goats, and goat milk was one of the important commodities that was had. So when you say goats, yes, that's... you know, I think we can call it Goatsville, or we can call it Bucktown. Now, I don't know who created that term Bucktown, but it has to do with the fact that the goats were in that particular area.
That is funny. You know, you think of these things because you don't know, right?
Uh-huh.
And I always said, Bucktown. Must have been good deer hunting.
Right? Right. Could have been, right.
And then Goose Island, you said it was shaped like a goose.
I never knew that.
You know, the island.
I just assumed there were a lot of geese on that island. That's where you went for goose hunting, you know.
There was a very famous brewery, I think, that was on Goose Island
Brewery. It's they still have, I don't know whether they're brewing yet, but there is... a nightclub or a couple of taverns on Goose Island.
What was the name of the brewery?
Goose Island Brewery.
Oh. Yeah, I remember that name. And there was Siebens, too, I think. But that have been... was that still in that same
that
area?
That was a little further away, yes.
Uh-huh.
Siebens, I remember. Because when I came out here, I've been out here about 40 years. And that was a great little place. If you wanted a beer on a Friday afternoon, get out in the sun. They had the patio.
Oh, yes.
The wall, and we had a lot of fun with that. So, anyway.
And now the people who came to this area, settled in, you know, were primarily of Polish descent, correct? They were Polish immigrants.
Yes, we go back 150 years ago. I would say perhaps 90-95% of the people were Polish. Mm-hmm. And as they grew from in number, they moved from the Division Street and moved northwest along Milwaukee Avenue, at that time called Plank Street.
Plank Street. Why? Because it was made of planks?
Made of planks.
Really? Oh.
And so they would move along going northwest on Milwaukee Avenue.
Uh-huh.
So places like St. Mary's of the Angels Parish and St. Hedwig's Parish had become the centers for the Polish people.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there were other groups that had come in, including the Irish and the Bohemians and likes, but they would have their own particular church. So most churches had their own nationality in this sense, and they were national parishes.
Mm-hmm.
So in the neighborhood of St. Mary's of the Angels and St. Hedwig's, there had been Annunciation, which was an Irish church, and there was a St. Michael's, which was a Bohemian church.
Mm-hmm.
The two would never mix. So they had their services in their language, and of course the Polish churches. Now, over the years, First World War had moved people further down Milwaukee Avenue into the Logan Square, Avondale. And after the Second World War, you go further down Milwaukee Avenue all the way into Niles and the Spiros White Eagle area there. And St. Adalbert Cemetery, which was mainly in control of the Polish parishes. And then, of course, it becomes various groups of people who were being buried at St. Adalbert's Cemetery, so that now we can go further down Milwaukee Avenue to Mary Hill Cemetery. And the people from Bucktown, the people from Avondale, the people from Logan Square are being buried in those particular areas.
Mm-hmm. So that would be a natural migration route, too, as they moved out of Bucktown.
Absolutely.
To perhaps come up that Milwaukee Avenue corridor. And, of course, we see a lot of the Polish population through the years having come up Milwaukee Avenue.
Yeah. And then, of course, one of the big situations was in the early 1950s into the late 1950s, the building of Kennedy Expressway that had raised many, many homes. And, of course, predominantly so many were Polish families. And once they moved further down to the Niles area or the Des Plaines area, they no longer were coming back. However, in the very recent days, we have noticed a tremendous amount of regentrification in Bucktown, as well as in Avondale and Logan Square, with condos and with people who don't want to be driving downtown for 2 hours, but want to get on the rapid transit or to take the Milwaukee Avenue bus or driving just a couple of minutes into downtown.
Even bicycling.
Sure.
Bicycling,
rollerblades.
We got a call back from Norwood Crossing.
Ah, Marianne.
Marianne. And she left the number for Norwood Crossing, which is 773-577-5327. That's 773-577-5327. I thank you, Marianne, for calling us back. Our number here is 1-708-493-1530. And this show will be on podcast, and you'd have to switch to our web, and that's www.ourvillagechicago.com.
And, of course, we're speaking with Father Francis Rogue today.
And a most interesting discussion. Most interesting discussion.
And, you know, we had mentioned the progression of the immigration, the immigrants, the Polish immigrants coming up Milwaukee Avenue into Niles. The White Eagle, of course, as we all know, has expanded to this huge banquet facility, which is in Niles. And the White Eagle, of course, is one of the sponsors of our program today. Hence, we're able to have Father Rogue with us and all the wonderful news that we bring the neighborhood. The White Eagle, a Shabillo family tradition for over 60 years now of quality food, service, and value. They have banquet facilities for a range, 40 to 1,000 people. So no matter what size your group, they can accommodate you with customized menus, full package plans. Of course, most people think of them in terms of bridal and funeral functions, but, you know, they can accommodate anything that you have in terms of smaller parties, too, showers, luncheons, corporate events. They have trade shows that they're able to put into the facilities there, all occasion parties, dinner dances. So do give them a call and find out what they have to offer. They're hosting a wonderful Easter Sunday brunch again this year on April the 16th, and that will include all the wonderful things that we're used to having at the White Eagle, starting out with their mushroom barley soup and all the great things that follow. They have entertainment, complimentary gift basket, and just entertainment for the children as well. So do give them a call. The price on that is $19 for adults, and I believe I gave the wrong date on Easter. Easter this year is April the 8th. I think I was looking at last year's Easter. So they can call in and reserve their space for that at 847-647-0660. That's 847-647-0660. And that's the White Eagle for any occasion, but their Sunday Easter brunch is very exceptional on April the 8th.
You must be very busy on Easter.
Very busy, but I'd like to make an addition to the White Eagle. So very often people think of it as just the Polish food, the cabbage and the Polish sausage, the chicken. But if a person wanted to have filet mignon or they wanted to have chateaubriand, they can certainly have dinner in that fashion there. When you mention about my reception, which was over at over 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Chateaubriand as part of the meal,
mm-hmm.
and some other elements there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody walked away saying, spectacularly well prepared for mm-hmm. over 1,000 people. So I'd like to give Vivian there, as well as mm-hmm. the rest of the Cibolo family,
mm-hmm.
a great applause for the tremendous work that's being done.
Oh,
very
yes,
good.
They are, and they're wonderful people, and family-owned and operated,
absolutely.
As everyone
Next
else.
Next time I see Vivian, I'm going to tell her she owes the father a check.
A free Chateaubriand, at least.
All right, Chateaubriand, then I would like to be your guest.
Yeah, that is true, because people think just pretty much as a standard menu of family sure. style, which most of us have appreciated through the years.
It's but an exciting restaurant, and most people forget about the gift shop.
Yeah,
they have a nice gift shop mm-hmm. there.
Yes,
beautiful
indeed.
Things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a place you can go. You find most everything you need
mm-hmm.
of a night.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't have to be down in that parking downtown, which is, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
Up here, they have a huge parking lot.
They have 5 acres of parking.
Yeah.
And you're right, the gift shop, which they've added on just in the last few years, has all the Polish imports, beautiful glassware, and Christmas items, and, of course, the deli items, which you can take out as well.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. one of the big things is that, so very often, people who come will want to take some homemade soup.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say Cibolo soup, mm-hmm. especially the mushroom barley soup,
mm-hmm.
Or the Polish blood soup also would be a possibility to be taken home, because mm-hmm. you don't ordinarily find people who prepare that kind of a thing.
Mm, yes.
Are there still a lot of good Polish restaurants down in your area?
Oh, yes, there certainly, I would have to say, a smorgasbord type of Polish meal could be found at the Red Apple, Czerwone Jabłuszko, as it's known, and, mm-hmm. and you can see it down Milwaukee Avenue. It's a great big Red Apple that's mm-hmm. There.
Is that downtown now?
No, it's right in the neighborhood of St. Hyacinth's. And they also
really
have another one just
they have another
about,
one up north.
Down north, which mm-hmm. is about 3 blocks away from...
Yeah.
It's a smorgasbord, so you can go in and find... maybe about 40 different items that would be had.
The place that made me cry was the Busy Bee. The day they saw that,
yeah.
I felt terrible.
Wasn't that sad? Oh,
so I hope the Polish tradition is staying strong in that area.
There are other places throughout Chicago, including down Milwaukee Avenue, or Jolly Inn, which is on Irving Park, that has the same smorgasbord type of a thing.
Mm.
Old Warsaw, which is on the Harlem Avenue.
Mm.
These are places that certainly can be had, and the price is right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
and healthy, too.
I believe that outside of Warsaw, Chicago is the second largest Polish community in the world.
Yes, as a matter of fact, just the other day, 2 days ago in the newspaper, they were talking about that very concept. They were talking about immigration, and one of the instances of immigration of people from Poland going to Dublin, Ireland, rather than coming now to the United States. But there still is a tremendous amount of and is considered the second largest city of Poles outside of Warsaw.
Mm-hmm. And they're a fine people, and I hope they hold that together, the Polish traditions and the things that they bring forth. They're so great for this country.
The other Polish tradition is Kazimierz Pulaski Day, which was just this past Monday,
mm-hmm.
and the PRCU, Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, and their museum, which is on Milwaukee and Augusta, would have and does have annually a great presentation of the politicians of Chicago, as well as state of Illinois, as well as other aspects. And then, of course, May 3rd is a great big parade, which is down in the downtown area.
And that's Polish Constitution Day
Polish
parade,
Constitution
isn't it?
Day. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that is Isn't it the 108th celebration of Polish Constitution Day, or do I have that wrong?
I don't have the exact number, but it's well over 100, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, because we had the Polish Women's Alliance of America on the program with us last week, and we were talking about the fact that actually their anniversary of their group, I think, was 108 years. So, yes, the Polish Constitution would have gone back. But it was interesting. I believe what they said was that the Polish Constitution was the very first in all of Europe. Is that, am I getting that right?
And the same thing, you know, with the Solidarity movement and the opposition to communism was the very, it was Poland and in Poland that the uprising had occurred. Mm-hmm. And so many of the other communist-dominated countries followed through and are now independent or whatever kind of government they would want to have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so they were really trendsetters in that particular area. We're going to break away here for just a second because I want to talk about somebody else who has been very, very important to us with our newspaper and, of course, with our radio program. And we were talking about this person just before we went on the air, Father Rogue, Nelson Funeral Homes. And they actually had called in a couple of weeks ago with a fellow by the name of Walter Chasen, who was an embalmer in Bucktown years ago. We were talking about all of the funeral parlors down there. And we hope they're listening today. But Nelson Funeral Homes has been family-owned and operated since 1929, so they go back quite a way as well. They have two convenient locations. One is in Park Ridge at 820 Talcott, and the other is in Chicago in Andersonville at 5149 North Ashland. They're very home-like, comfortable locations, and they offer traditional services, memorial celebrations, cremation options, and pre-planning, of course. They invite you to stop by and visit with them at no obligation, certainly, at either one of their locations in Park Ridge. Their number is 847-823-5122. And their website is going to give you a lot more information than what we can do right here on the show. It's nelsonfunerals.com. And as we said, they provide you with all sorts of pre-planning options so you might need for your future assistance, pricing options to fit all financial situations as well. That's Nelson Funeral Homes, family-owned and operated since 1929, 847-823-5122.
Very good. Next week we're going to have Bosley on, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We got a dog, Bosley. Now, Bosley talks, he goes into our newspaper through the eyes of a dog, what a dog sees. Obviously, somebody's writing it for him, we think. But and he tells you how his feelings are about certain things with dogs, you know, when they like to drink water, why they shouldn't eat chocolate, that kind of thing. But we're putting him up for president now in the United States. We think that would be a good deal. And up till now, nobody can beat this guy. So, anyway, he'll be on next week.
Yes. I don't think Bosley wears glasses, though, does he?
We can fit him if we make him look good.
I don't know. I wonder, do dogs, well, sure, they get cataracts and all kinds of things wrong with them. I bet this fellow could fix them up if they need them. Birch Optical Company on Milwaukee Avenue in Gladstone Park has been giving the gift of vision for over 69 years, actually, this company. His third-generation company. Are you familiar with them,
Father?
Oh,
yes, very much so.
Well, Fred and I get our glasses there, and, of course, we have perfect vision as a result. Birch Optical is located at 5489. Milwaukee Avenue, and as I said, that's Gladstone Park. They honor most major insurance plans. Of course, they have professional certified opticians, quality eyewear of all different types, whether they're sporting glasses or accessory items that you might need, contact lenses. They have a special that you can mention to them if you hear them on our program and mention this. They will give you a $25 off gift on a complete set of eyewear. So give Birch a call at 773-775-3300. That's Birch Optical at 5489 North Milwaukee. And this is a splendid thing, Curves. As you know, I've signed up to Curves to get in shape if I ever get myself over there to do this.
We had a bet going on that.
I know, yeah,
to,
I think I'm losing
the bet.
Able to
out Indian wrestling.
I did sign up. But Curves, convenient Northside locations in Norwood Park, Edgebrook, and Elmwood Park, is now sponsoring, along with the Curves nationwide, of course, a ninth annual food drive. They will waive the initiation fee on signing up for Curves if you bring in a bag of groceries. It's a wonderful offer, and of course they supply the different food pantries, actually New Hope Community Food Pantry, with these. So that's quite a substantial savings that you can obtain by not having to pay that initiation fee. The local Curves are located at 5454 West Devon, 5354 West Devon, excuse me, 5854 Northwest Highway, and 2840 North Harlem. That last address is in Elmwood Park. But give them a call at 773-763-0563. That's Curves on the northwest side of Chicago, and you can get the free initiation with the food drive.
Very good. Father, we thank you so much for coming in. I hope you come back. There's so much more to talk about.
Good to be with you, and certainly there is, as the articles had been written over the last 5 months, I believe, in the newspaper, for all sorts of aspects of the Bucktown life.
Yes, and of course we can't possibly cover all of them in one sitting, so I'm sure if you're good enough, will you come back and join us again?
Absolutely.
On a regular basis, and we'll talk more about
it. I don't know about regular basis.
Well, you have a good day,
thank
and all
you,
of
Bob.
You out there have a good day, and thanks for listening.